No matter where you travel in Ireland, you'll find music's an important part of the scene. The deeper you immerse yourself in the musical culture of the Irish, the more you'll learn about Irish history and legends, even while you're having a rousing good time. To help us tap into the singing culture of the Irish, we've imported two of the best spokesmen I can think of to demonstrate how the Irish can make a lyric and a tune an important part of their identity. Liam O'Riordan's a tenor who comes from a musical family and specializes in traditional ballads of Ireland. You can often find Liam singing in the pubs in County Cork as part of a duo called Trad Roots. And Stephen McPhillamy is a tour guide who runs a youth hostel in Derry in Northern Ireland. Stephen and Liam, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Rick. Pleasure to be here.
Liam, why is music such a big deal in Ireland as opposed to almost any other country I can think about?
I think, for what it's worth, our history was passed on in a lot of the songs. A lot of the stories were passed on.
So that oral tradition with music.
Oral tradition with music. That was how they kept the history alive for so long, because we were suppressed for so many years. And we kept our music alive by putting it into song and passing on the tradition.
You couldn't print honest Irish-oriented material.
No.
Under centuries of British rule.
Exactly.
But you could sure sing around the kitchen table.
And the fact that we were able to sing in our own native tongue as well.
In other words, the British didn't know what you're singing
about. Yeah.
So a lot of these roots are in Gaelic rather than English?
Yes. A lot of the songs have been translated to English by Irish people because, unfortunately, our language is dying out now.
So the culture carries on in English, even though it has roots in Gaelic.
Yes.
You know, if I was at a campfire with a bunch of friends and we had a guitar player and we could sing songs, I could probably sing 15 or 20 songs, maybe 30. How many songs do you think you could sing around a campfire?
I would say I'd be there for a week, nonstop.
take a guess. How many songs?
I have no idea. I would say maybe 1,000. I don't know.
1,000?
Maybe.
You were interviewed by some German journalist, I understand.
There was a German girl, actually. She came to Ireland to do a thesis, her college thesis on Irish music. And she attended my gigs for a number of weeks. And before she left, she showed me, and I didn't believe it, she showed me 800 different songs that I had sung.
800 songs that you had sung. You know, some people can memorize the Quran, or some people can do this or that, which is an astounding amount of memory. And you were raised in a musical family.
Yes, yes. Proud to say it.
And your father was a singer also?
He still sings. My father still sings. In my opinion, he's one of the best Irish voices I've ever heard, but maybe I'm a little biased, but...
But it must have inspired you as a child.
Of course, of course. And, you know, I went to hear him sing in different venues from a very young age. And
My dad was a piano player, and when I was a little kid, my goal was to learn his favorite song on the piano.
Right.
What was your dad's favorite song to sing?
One of my dad's favorite songs happens to be, at the moment, one of my favorite songs. It's an old song from Patrick Kavanagh. It's about Dublin. I might do a verse.
Yeah.
Raglan Road. On an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. Saw the danger and I passed along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a falling leaf at the dawning of day.
Now, why would that be your dad's favorite song?
It's a song about a lady from Dingle. Patrick Kavanagh was watching from the window one day, and he saw this lady walk down Stoneybatter, I think, and recognized her beauty and fell in love with the beauty of the lady and wrote the song. Steve and myself have a friend who has a music store in Dingle, And he actually gave me the lady's name the last time we spoke, but I forgot it. Imagine.
Now, that is amazing. So your dad's favorite song is about, you know exactly what street it was about.
Yes.
And actually what woman it's about.
Yes.
Your dad knows probably 1,000 songs also.
I'd say more.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about Irish traditional folk music. I'm joined by Liam O'Riordan from County Cork. And Stephen McPhillamy from the north of Ireland. Stephen, when you travel around Ireland, and you're a tour guide, you travel around Ireland a lot, almost any town you come into has a song about it. Every river has a song about it. What's that like, traveling around your country and all these places conjure up favorite songs?
Yeah, it's brilliant. You know, when I first discovered Liam, 10 years ago now, Liam, he's a Cork man and I'm a northern man. And when I go down to listen to him sing the Cork songs, you know, I just love it. I mean, I get these goosebumps. And you know, when I sing the Cork songs, they sound okay. I mean, I could never have the same passion for a Cork song that Liam would have.
What is it about a Cork song sung by a Cork man that gives you goosebumps?
Just the passion for the region. You know, we all have songs about Ireland that we love, but isn't it great that within Ireland there's 32 counties, so there's 32 little nations within a nation.
Yeah.
And I just think that's brilliant, just to be able to keep that regional identity strong. And at the same time, when Liam comes up to visit me in Derry, because we've become very good friends, and he comes up to visit me in the north, and I'll sing Derry songs, and you know, he listens to us singing our Derry songs or our Donegal songs, and you could just see that he loves and has respect for us singing our songs. And I bring him into my local pub in the middle of Derry, into Padder O'Donnell's traditional bar, and it's like bringing Britney Spears in or something. It's just superstar has arrived from a different
corner of your island.
He's come up from the deep
so
south, for want
news.
Of a better term.
There's a great musician from Cork in Ulster.
Yeah.
Come on down to this pub tonight.
Yeah, who's bringing his songs up from the south. We know all the words of all these songs. You know, we know all the words of the Cork songs and he knows all the words of the northern songs.
Right.
But for us to have a real live Cork man come up to the north, you know, and sing, it's just brilliant.
Done right. A Cork song done right. You're probably tired of hearing your friends sing it.
Exactly. And done with the accent and knowing that those words mean something to him because he grew up there.
Okay, so let's see. Liam just came to your town, your favorite pub, up in the opposite side of the island in the far north. And here's Liam there. He's a Corkman. You love Cork music, but you're tired of hearing it by Ulstermen. Ask him to sing one of your favorite songs and see if he can do it right off the top of his head.
Well,
let's hear the goosebumps.
Well, you can see the smile already because he knows exactly the song I'm going to ask him to sing, because there's an area in Cork City called Fair Hill, and Liam's from that area. Mm-hmm. And it's a good old street ballad about young boys growing up in Cork. So it's called The Boys of Fair Hill, and he's sick and tired probably of me requesting him to sing this, but I'll ask him for that one.
The Cork accent is very distinctive, they say.
Yeah.
You know, they also say that you never have to ask a Cork man where he comes from, because he'll tell you first.
Very proud.
Very proud.
Give us the boys.
So here's the song. Come on, boys, and you'll see lads and lassies full of glee. Famous for all, they will make your heart thrill. The boys, they will not harm you. The girls, they won't charm you. Here's up them all, said the boys of Fair Hill. If you come to Cork, you'll get Drisheen, Murphy Stout and Pig's Crew Beans. Famous for all, they will make your heart thrill. Thousands cross from o'er the foam just to kiss the Blarney Stone that can be viewed from the groves of Fair Hill. And in Cork City there is no law. The next Lord Mayor is Andy Gaw. Here's up from all, said the boys of Fair Hill. And Blarney girls are very rude. They go swimming in the nude. Here's up them all, said the boys of Fair Hill. This song goes on for about 15 minutes, so we'll leave it at that.
That is a delight to have within your culture all those fine points that the average tourist would be oblivious to.
Yes.
But within Ireland, it just, I can see it just turns you both on.
But there's a connection there. You see, I've brought probably 100 groups now over the years to listen to Liam down in Cork and Kinsale when he's playing. And when our groups, our visitors, hear Liam sing a song and they know it's a song from the south because he's introduced it as a Cork song, and suddenly they know me as their tour guide from the north, and I join in the chorus, and the barman from somewhere else joins in the chorus, and we all just, the whole bar erupts in the chorus. There's something very attractive in that, and I can, you know, there's almost a magic. Well, there is a magic.
I've had that magic, and you search for it as a tourist because I'm pretty clueless about all the fine points of Irish music, but I know when you get that magic. I don't care if you're a Kerryman or a Corkman or from Ulster or if you're from Seattle or Florida or whatever. If you're there, you feel that magic. There's something combusting that, I don't feel it every time. I mean, you go out looking for it, and it's like fishing, and sometimes you really come home with it.
Sometimes you will find it, and sometimes you won't.
We're enjoying the singing culture of the Irish today on Travel with Rick Steves, with Stephen McPhillamy from Derry and Liam O'Riordan from Blarney. Liam's recorded traditional Irish tunes as part of a duo called Trad Roots, and his website is tradrootsireland.com.
There's another song called Johnny Jump Up, which was, Johnny Jump Up was a cider that was brewed in whiskey casks in Cork.
Right.
And it was awful. Yeah. And Steve, actually, he teaches the song to the people on the tour.
Right.
Now, this is a Donegal man teaching a Cork song to a bunch of tourists from America. And when they get to the pub, it's the first thing they ask me to sing. And I pretend I don't know it, first of all, and, you know. But then it's so much fun. I'll just sing the chorus.
Okay.
Oh, never, oh, never, oh, never again, if I live to 100 or 110. For I fell to the ground and I couldn't get up after drinking a quart of that Johnny Jump Up.
We even got Rick Steves to sing.
You. You.
My background, you know, with the songs is that I grew up in a house where it wasn't very musical, so I didn't have that blessing that Liam had, that my parents don't play any instruments and didn't really listen to the songs much. But when I was growing up, I found an LP. I found it in a dusty old collection of stuff, and I dusted it down, and it said 20 best Irish rebel songs and patriotic ballads. And it was like opening a Pandora's box, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like something that, and my mother had said to me, oh no, we shouldn't be listening to those patriotic songs, because we lived up in the north where there was, you know, violence on the fringes, and
this is songs that stirs your feelings.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I remember listening to it with the earphones on, and it was just like a rebirth for me. I was probably about 12, and I just said to myself, this is the future. So I sat down and learned practically every Irish rebel song that was ever written. You know, my repertoire is probably 400 to 500 songs. And when we were going off to football games, you know, big football games, we'd all go off in a big flotilla of coaches and motor buses. And I'd always sit down the back seat. I'd be invited down the back seat with all the big tough lads. And I think it's the main reason I never got bullied as a teenager, because I always knew the verses to every song. Everybody knows the chorus, you see,
right,
but not everybody knows all the verses. And that was my strength growing up, was the big boys always said, bring McPhillamy down, he knows the verses.
Anybody who knows the verses, they're an important part of the team.
Yeah, because I was like the little minstrel boy being brought down the back to sing all the verses.
You know, I was looking through a whole list of all different Irish ballads and so on, and there's so many different topics, basically. You got 1798 Rebellion, you got the War of Independence, you got immigration, you got drinking, you got funny songs, and I know you like rebel songs. What's a good rebel song?
Well, I like the older ones, you know, from the 1916 period. I like the Foggy Dew, which talks about 1916.
So this is the War of Independence kind of era?
Yeah, just that era, even before that, when we had a big rebellion in 1916, because it was a military disaster. And the fact that we can write songs about defeats and make them still sound honourable, and you know, they're very respectable songs, or respectful songs. It respects our patriotism and pays homage to it. Like, there's a line in the song, The Foggy Dew. It talks about, and from the plains of Royal Meath, because we have a county called Meath, and from the plains of Royal Meath, strong men came hurrying through, while Britannia's Huns with their long-range guns sailed in through the foggy dew.
Britannia's Huns?
Yeah, it sticks the knife in a little bit, but, you know, and then it talks about these young, strong, strapping Irish men marching.
That is stirring.
In.
I mean, even if they lost, I feel like they're heroes.
Yeah.
Do that again, that chorus, that was so cool.
And from the plains of Royal Meath, strong men came hurrying through, while Britannia's Huns with their long-range guns sailed into the foggy dew. Whether those young men did march in or not, it doesn't matter. It just sounds great. It's propaganda, but it's good, and it's good to celebrate your patriotism through music.
Now,
I think,
if I was your British overlord, I wouldn't want you singing that song.
Not back then, but I have brought thousands of British tourists around Ireland, and they love the rebel songs as well.
Is that right?
No, the British are fair people, and they respect
their
culture.
Funny that you say that. It's when we get English tours to Ireland, Cork particularly, where I play, they'll ask you to sing some of those songs.
Is that right? The British tourists?
Yes.
The English guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes I try to explain, you know, I don't want to offend anybody, and I prefer to sing songs about peace now.
But you see, there's a genre of rebel songs that have been written in the last, say, 30 or 40 years, which are pretty hard line and refer more so to the recent conflict in the north. There's one called Go On Home, British Soldiers, And it's pretty hard light. I remember being in the bar one time in the Temple Bar in Dublin, and the Republic of Ireland had played a soccer match that night. And about 50 young lads came in after the game, and they started singing that. And the bar had heretofore been full of happy English tourists. And the song goes, go on home, British soldiers, go on home.
Let's hear with the...
No, we don't do... I won't do that. No, no, but... Because I don't do it, but I'll do it.
Yeah, okay, no, but okay. I'm just giving you an example of the song. I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, this song cleared the bar. All the English tourists, God help them, got up and walked out.
Is that right?
So there is, let's be honest about it, there is an element of more contemporary rebel songs.
Yeah.
That, you know, you have to be very careful where you sing them, and a lot of people would refuse to sing them. But I'm just giving you an example. Yeah. And because the song, if you want an example of it, here it is. Go on home, British soldiers, go on home. Have you got no beep, beep, home of your own? For 800 years, we fought you without fear, and we'll fight you for 800 more. Well, so, you know, that sort of stuff.
If I'm an Englishman, I would be a little uncomfortable
with
that. Yeah. But you've got emigration songs, you've got love songs.
I suggest there's three subjects.
Yeah.
Usually it's drink, emigration, and love.
Drink, emigration, and love.
But it certainly doesn't happen in that order.
No.
Sometimes you get drunk, then you get lucky, and then you better emigrate.
Tell me, you're sitting in bars a lot taking requests. What's the most dreaded request that you don't want to hear? But
without doubt, the Wild Rover.
The Wild Rover?
Yes.
Why don't you like that?
Because... I sometimes have to sing it three or four times a night, and it just gets into my fillings. It's worse than being at the dentist.
What about Danny Boy?
Danny Boy, I love.
Do you get tired of it? You don't get tired of it?
I don't get tired of it because it's a test for a singer to sing it, I think. Huh. I'm not saying I do a perfect job on it, but it's got a huge range from very low to very high, and I just love the song.
That's nice.
But I love to hear people sing it in context.
What
which actually, by the originally, Danny Boy was called a Derriere, which... Steve was talking about Derry earlier. Danny Boy was the Derry air. The melody is called
the Derry.
Yeah.
From Derry, the town of Derry. Mm-hmm.
The song's a Northern song. When Northern Ireland go to the Commonwealth Games, that's the anthem we sing, believe it or not.
Well, I thought you'd get tired of it, but if you're not tired of it, let's finish our interview with Liam O'Riordan from County Cork singing a song from Derry, Danny Boy.
Danny Boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone, all the flowers are dying. It's you, 'tis you, must go and I must bide. But come you back when summer's in the meadow, when the valley's hushed and white with snow. 'Tis I'll be here in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny Boy, oh, Danny Boy, I love you so.
Well done, sir.
Nice. Liam O'Riordan, Stephen McPhillamy, thank you so much.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington, by the Celtically surnamed Sarah McCormick, with ancestors from County Longford, and by yours truly, Timothy Tatton, whose forefathers are from County Cork. There's more to each week's show in the radio section of our website. That's where you'll find podcast features, links to our guests, and Rick's downloadable walking tours of Europe's major cities. It's at ricksteves.com. May the wind be at your back until we see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.